gold finger. Golden girl with a Midas touch. A spider's touch. Such a cold finger. Beckons you, pretty girl.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Third Degree Burn. I am Nigel Spink, the burn fan in Japan, your host for today, as we continue our pertinent perusal of John Byrne's Alpha Flight Run. Joining me today are three fellow burnophiles ready to convey their thoughts on Alpha Flight issues 20 and 21, which we are covering today. So let me introduce them. In no particular order, we have Tim, the technician, Elliot.
Hello.
Say hello, Tim. And we also have Kirk, Rocketman Greenfield.
Hi there, Nigel.
And last but not least, Fred, Wild Wild West.
Hey, everybody. How you doing?
Good. Right, so that's our gang here for today. Now, before we start looking at the issues, do you realise, guys, that by the end of this show, we'll be three quarters of the way through Byrne's Alpha Flight Run?
Oh, that's
yeah, we're kind of in the final stretch here, aren't we?
Yeah. It's always seems like it's really not been started long, and we're already heading down the final straight almost. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you noticed the stories are also becoming longer in 2 and 4 issue arcs?
Yes. Yeah. Because I was going to ask, what did you guys think of the stories since the death of Guardian and how the run was developing through these last, let's say, 8 or 9 issues?
Well, I've really liked it. As I recall, I wasn't on the edge of my seat because I didn't know where we were heading. I didn't know how much longer we had left in the series. It was just ongoing. Mm-hmm. So the individual one-shots after the death were entertaining, were engaging. I didn't know where we were leading. So I was just being led around by the nose. I know mm-hmm. that's not a complimentary expression, but yeah. I was going for the ride, and yeah. I'm enjoying them.
Mm. It's yeah, just as a point that you mentioned there, it's funny that you kind of seem to have seen it then. You said the individual one shots after the death of Guardian, and I didn't see it that way. To me, there was only one individual one shot after the death of Guardian. That was the issue 13 where they did the funeral thing. But then to me, the next few stories are more than one issue, if you like. It's just that as well as the ongoing main plot, as Byrne tends to do, he's always got these subplots going all the time. So it might seem like there's a lot of stuff going on, yeah, which might make it feel like a one-shot, I guess, but it was actually, yeah, there's a three-part story, as we covered, with the Master involving Marina and Namor and Puck. And then it moves into another story, which is, it's more than one issue anyway. But, yeah, I thought, yeah, there's not too many different stories in there, although it seems like there's a lot of different stuff. What do you think, Tim?
It feels a lot like if you were fans of the X-Files, it's the monster of the week. They've been like a lot of 2-issue, that 1-3-issue creature of the week, kind of one and done, because most of these the monsters don't, I mean, the Master does, but most of them don't come back.
Yeah.
And he uses, it's almost like he's using that as a vehicle to kind of tell this kind of a monster of the week story. And within that framework, he is giving us more about each character. He's developing each one of them a little more. Marina obviously goes off and kind of leaves the team, but we're learning more about Aurora. You know, there's things that change with her. some things are creeping in with Walter, even with Northstar. Heather is continuing to struggle with the death of Mac and what is her role going to be, you know, moving forward. You get those sprinkled in. And he uses that as a kind of, and that's all, those are all kind of mixed in these little Monster of the Week stories that we're getting, which is fun, because you get so used to current television now that I'm reading this and like, oh, this was two issues, that's it, as opposed to, you know, oh, I've got an eight episode or a 12 episode TV show that I'm watching. They're all connected, so it's I've been enjoying them. I mean, it seemed like the first leading up to the death of Mac was kind of leading towards, well, that was so much introduction of the characters, and now he's kind of doing the same thing, but he's just fleshing him out a little more.
It's also a bit of how is everyone processing the death of the leader of Alpha Flight. You know, there's this, you know, it built up to establishing the team and having Mac and then Mac's death. But then now, you know, everyone's trying to figure out how the team works when they weren't fully cohesive as a team when the leader actually died. And so it felt like to me there's a bunch of one-off, one-two shots where, you know, they've kind of fractured into being individuals and struggling to find their placement and to come back as a team part of, you know, the aftermath of Mac's death.
There are very few them as a team in these stories. It's mostly like Fred said, they are split up and they paired off and they have their own individual stories.
I was just gonna say, actually, it reminds me of, there was a stage in the X-Men original series where they did some issues where they were not like acting as a team as such. There was like a story with just Hank and Bobby, and then there was a story with Scott and Jean. And it looked like they were kind of breaking up, because I thought, oh dear, is this going to be the end of the X-Men?
Built it that way. That's how they build either the issue before these individual stories, but they said, is this the end of the X-Men? And it showed, as I recall, Juggernaut tearing the X apart, and he's fighting the team until they finally tell him, like, you keep looking for Professor X, he's gone. And then he just kind of, what? Then what's the point? And so the book kind of, in my view, the original X-Men at that period was wandering. It was floundering. Roy Thomas says, it was circling the drain. And I think it did that until we get to the Neil Adams.
The Neil Adams stuff,
Yes, definitely, yeah. But that's what it reminds me of a little bit in that way, that it's all about just fractured little bits of this team that they don't seem to be a team anymore. That was one of the things that bothered me about Alpha Flight. And also somebody mentioned about Heather having struggling to get over Mac's death. I was too still at this stage. I still couldn't take it. You know, I was like, oh, is he really dead?
The funny thing is, as I'm rereading these, I mean, I remember in the 80s, I was reading titles, but not this particular title, but everyone at the shop I was going to was like, oh my gosh, how bold and innovative Alpha Flight was because of Mac's death and all of that. And at the time, you know, trying to remember back to that time, it's hard to remember back that far, but it was unique amongst all the titles that you had a team struggling as much as Alpha Flight was to be a team, really, you know, kind of thing. And it's one of the things that made the title interesting, I think.
I think it's because they never really came together really as a team. It wasn't like as if you're reading the Avengers and then, oh, Tony Stark died or Cap died, because they had a long history of being a team and doing stuff. Alpha Flight never really got off the ground before then suddenly, oh, Mac's dead. Now we got to pick up the pieces and try. And we were just trying to pick up the pieces of them being basically fired by the government and not having government support. And they're like, Mac's like, no, we're going to go off and be superheroes anyway. And they hadn't quite established that. They were getting to it. And then suddenly Mac's gone. Now it's like, well, God, now we got to, it's like start all over again.
Which made the story interesting because I don't think we had seen that story in a long time.
And I wonder if that any of that has to do with this one. We need Brian here because he's our Byrne scholar. If that has anything to do with Byrne reluctantly taking the book because he didn't want to do it, but he didn't want somebody else to do it, and maybe he was telling it a little differently than a straight on, because he could easily have had, okay, we're a team now, we're all fighting bad guys every issue, and that's all there is. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, although we got no proof of that, but I mean, I've thought that for a long time. Yeah, he sort of took it on begrudgingly because they were his characters, but he thought, all right, so if you really want it that bad, I'll give it to you, but you're not going to get
The
what
way
you
you want
think you're going
it.
to get.
Exactly.
Yeah. And because it looks like, when you think about what's gone by already, as you say, like, first of all, the team sort of gets cancelled, if you like, before it starts by the government. And then, like you say, they were just deciding they were going to go their own way anyway. And then Mac dies. So it's all fractured again. It's like he never was going to let it, get a smooth run on purpose. Yeah, he just wanted, so he just thought, well, I'll just develop these characters, just to make it interesting. But he never intended them to last, I don't think. Yeah.
How
Maybe
I would love
it's
to see him do an Alpha Flight Elsewhen,
Elsewhen.
to see him pick it up from where he left and say, if I was going to continue, what a roller coaster ride that would be. But I don't know that we'll ever see that. But gee, Mr. Byrne, if you're listening, we'd love it.
Well,
Even
you
if
could
it's
say
only a short run.
the
Well, they
same
did
thing
it.
with the Hulk. What if he had, that run was so short? What if he'd stayed on that book,
Right, yeah, but well, from what I've read about what he had planned for the Hulk, though, I'm glad it didn't carry on with
Oh,
Byrne
I
because
haven't.
I don't know whether I would have liked it. But yeah. Anyway, so shall we have a look at today's two issues, starting with issue number 20, which I believe you have the synopsis for, Kurt?
That's right. If there's no more Byrne news to discuss, and I doubt there is, maybe Brian will be able to add something later on. He's under the weather tonight, otherwise he'd be with us. I'll start with Alpha Flight number 20, which is titled Gold and Love Affairs. It's by John Byrne. Keith Williams does the background inks. Rick Parker, the letterer. Andy Yashis, I can never say that word, he's the colorist. Dennis O'Neill, editor. Jim Shooter, editor in chief. All giants among men, as he puts it. The 60-cent cover is essentially red, with a large golden flapper girl face mask in the dead center. The book has a March 1985 cover date. Now, ordinarily, I'd turn to Brian and ask him if he could add some information about what else Byrne was doing this month, but I think Tim may have an idea and be able to share that with us. Tim?
I will try to fill in some of the blanks, Kirk. Along with Alpha Flight 20, what I have on my list is Dazzler number 36, and I don't have information if that's just a cover or if he actually did any of the inside work, like
I
write
think
or
it's
something.
probably just a cover,
That's what I imagine. It's just cover. We have FF 276. Of course, we know he was writing and drawing that. Power Man Iron Fist 115. I believe he's continuing just doing covers for that book. And The Thing number 21, and he was the writer on that book.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. Well, getting into the synopsis, which I have written from the reprint of the Alpha Flight Classics, volume number 3, this in fact starts this volume. As you mentioned, we're getting into the final downhill run for the title, although we didn't know it at the time. And I'm going to, just before I get into the synopsis, I'm going to make one side comment. The trade paperbacks are very nice. There are three of them that collect Burns classics, except the cover for this particular volume gives it away. It's a beautiful rendition, but it shows the cover of one of the later issues. So if you don't already know where this grand story arc is going, the trade is going to give it away. So that being said, I'll move into the synopsis now. The opening sequence for number 20 is essentially silent and violent as Sasquatch is tearing up the landscape in the Canadian Rockies. He's in the classic tree trunk ripping pose that Byrne favors, but this time there's not as many words. For four or five pages, he terraforms the land, creating a waterfall into a Canadian lake. He's thanked by a construction crew for helping them trim months off their schedule, but he shrugs it off, saying, "Yeah, I needed the exercise." But he also states his little experiment did not give him the answers he sought. As he stops, though, his eyes are glowing red. Suddenly, a swift figure drops to earth amongst the construction men. It's Aurora in her new outfit, which we only got a glimpse of before, but here we see it full on. She flirts with the construction workers, worrying Walter to some degree. She flies off, and he's left to cross-country hoof it to follow her. He begins to worry about her changing behavior. He also reveals that he was testing himself to see if he could provoke a berserker rage that has occasionally possessed him, but with no success nor answers. We cut back to Snowbird arguing with Talisman and Shaman when she attempts to remove her headband, but cannot. Meanwhile, Judd and Heather are speaking separately. They're growing closer. Michael Two Young Men cautions Judd not to move too quickly, as Heather will reach out when ready. Judd indicates he's quite aware of what's going on with Heather, but Shaman says when she reaches out, you must be willing to give whatever. Back to Aurora and Walter as they pilot across the Canadian lake to a Victorian mansion he is considering for a headquarters. While exploring, he leans against a wall and falls into a hidden passageway. Aurora discovers him missing and begins to pursue him through the mansion when the lights go out. She begins to panic, worried that she'll slip back into Jean-Marie, and almost does so as she flounders through the darkness, until finding a door into a display hall with eight golden figures of individual men from different time periods. As the images of are they images of Walter's great aunt's eight husbands that have all vanished? She examines them until one opens its eyes and she realizes that it contains a live figure yet. She freaks out, but a golden hand reaches out and snags her. It's the thin gold hand of Gilded Lily, who assures her that all is well. She promises that Walter is safe and drags Aurora to the next room, where, in a full-page cliffhanger, she reveals that he also appears to have been turned to a golden statue. Next issue, Love Wrought New Alchemy, and a surprise guest fill-in.
Kind of.
Nice. Well done.
Nicely done, Kurt. Yeah.
I hesitated whether or not to put in the fact that Sasquatch eyes were glowing red. And it occurred to me as I reread this synopsis many weeks after I wrote it initially, that we're being misdirected. He's worrying about Aurora. What is she becoming? What is she evolving into? He'd be smarter to worry about himself, which he does, but yeah.
He's worried a little bit about, he's curious about what is causing these rage attacks. But
I got to tell you, as this was evolving and he starts to observe changes in speech patterns and the mixture of some French expressions in Aurora's conversation, he begins to talk about, is there a third personality that's emerging? I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself here, but that, I won't say that it bothered me, but it worried me a little bit because I didn't know how many personalities, you know, she was going to exhibit. You have to remember this was well after the time period of the book Sybil and the movie that was done by Sally Fields that had the young woman who had something along the lines of 21 or 29 distinct individual personalities in her shattered psyche.
Well, I wonder if Byrne could have, because he could have easily, if say he got tired of dealing with the the split personalities, he could have decided that, like, much like they did with the Hulk when Peter David was writing it, and they merged those personalities, he could have merged these into a third but single personality, so that it's whatever her name would be. Maybe she still goes by Aurora. Instead of having to have her flip back and forth, you know, in these triggering incidents. So I don't know if that's what he was. I can't remember how the rest of this goes. I, you know, when I'm reading these, I'm like, it's almost like I'm reading it for the first time. But
I really enjoyed that.
Well, I mean, to what
you know, the sequence where she's, I think she's just taking a shower and she's like trying to wipe off the mirror. We saw a couple of issues ago, and the reflection was her other personality. I thought that was great. I just got the biggest bang out of that. And so I wanted to see this tension between the two personalities continue. And I was, you know, concerned that in the heat of battle, there was going to be a flip. There was going to be a switch. And we saw that at least once where she flipped. And I thought we're building to something worse that's coming. But you know, that's speculation on my part, and I won't spoil it because we know where this heads, even if Tim doesn't remember. But
yeah, you know, also keep in mind it was the mid 80s, so the only example anyone was aware of something like this was the Sally Fields movie in the book,
right? Right,
you know, I mean, the idea of multiple personalities was not common in even the concept around mental health was not as common and prevalent as it is today. So these things were not clearly acknowledged or thought out. You know, I think in Doom Patrol they eventually had somebody with multiple personalities. There was the Legion character in the X-Men title that had multiple personalities, but they were never well understood as far as how this went, what treatment was like for that. You know, this was all pre any of that being available, so it makes it very interesting.
Yeah, and I think at this point, and I think today, I'm not an expert, but I think it's still debated whether or not that multiple personalities is an actual condition or not. I don't know if all the psychiatrists or sociologists or whoever agree that it's a real thing. I mean, you could almost argue that Bruce Wayne has a multiple personality. That Bruce Wayne and Batman are very distinct from each other. But you know, he seems more conscious. He doesn't switch. Although I don't know. I mean, it seems to be where Aurora's that when she switches, she's aware that she has another personality. And I don't know if it's with real multiple personalities, if the one personality knows that there is another personality, or they just think that's another person.
Mm-hmm. Some do, don't. Mm-hmm. According to this is going off on a tangent, but I'll share something here. Since in the years and decades that have followed since Sybil came out, it has been revealed by the author, or other people have revealed that the author of that story took creative liberties, that it was not all as was presented, and she combined some different patients together to create this one portrait person. This very sympathetic patient. But the other side of this is I live in a town in Southeast Ohio. And there's a very well-known writer here, Daniel Keyes, I believe is his name, and he wrote the book Charlie, or Flowers for Algernon, and apparently that was one of his major works. He also wrote the book The Minds of Billy Milligan, which is a real true-life crime story of Billy Milligan, who was accused of a murder. And the defense was multiple personality disorder. And so this is close to my walk of life, because in this town, we had a very accomplished author who wrote a best-selling book that sold tremendously around here that played with that story. Was it real, or was it just an act that this guy was pulling off? And every so often, the topic will come up here again. But it doesn't have a lot to do with Alpha Flight. So I that's all I'll say about
well,
it.
Well, that Ed Richard Gere and Ed Norton film, is it Primal Fear or Primal something?
Yeah.
Where
yeah,
he plays a, it's got, you know, I'm not going to spoil the movie for anybody. It's an old movie, but it has to deal with a murderer and multiple personalities and that kind of mm-hmm. thing. So,
yep.
Or to kind of change subject, has it ever been established before that Walter's family was, obviously they must be wealthy to own this? He says they own the island.
Right.
So this is our first nod to that he, I guess, comes from a wealthy family.
Yeah. I mean, previously it had been discussed that, you know, he was a scientist, he was an athlete, he was a friend of Max, you know, but not any depth into ancestry or, you know, any kind of personal wealth or anything before this.
He's got a nice looking speedboat, and that's an, and I like the fact that he went to the trouble to put on a captain's hat and looks like a like a naval jacket or whatever he's got on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't that what isn't that what everyone wears when they go yachting? Yeah.
Sure, that's what that's what Sean Connery wore in From Russia with Love at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's true. Except that was more of a Greek fisherman's hat. It was black. But still, he's got the turtleneck.
What did we think of Aurora's new costume? Like, we haven't talked about that.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't like it as much as
I
the other one.
I didn't like it. No. It's not the best look.
I didn't care one way or the other, to tell you the truth.
And I don't like the hairstyle either.
Byrne was very observant of what current clothing trends and styles were, no matter which book he was working on, and he reflected new haircuts, new styling in those books. I personally didn't care too much. I just took it that she was being portrayed as a flirtatious sex pot, for lack of a better term. And so I just accepted it. It's like, I don't know why he did this with her to do that, but that's where we're going now.
Mm-hmm. Well, she was a flirtatious sex pot before, back in, was it issue 7?
that's I think.
Dealing with Deadly Earnest, she was still flirting around then, but she looked better than she does here.
I don't mind the haircut so much. I don't. I think the outfit looks a little too figure skatey, which is
good line.
Maybe that's probably influenced him, because obviously, as she says, she is kind of coming out on her own. She's, I'm not partnered with North Star anymore. Mm-hmm. My costume does not have to reflect his. Which those two together was fantastic. Yeah. Those two black and white costumes are great.
But I don't like the sleeves though. That sort of, it looks like they've just been ripped off.
It's a little, kind of the hairstyle and things, a little pixie-ish, isn't it?
I don't like.
Remember, this was the era of Storm having a mohawk.
Yeah,
you know, '80s, early '90s. This was that post-punk kind of aesthetic that, you know, I like the outfit because I thought the black and white was kind of frumpy and dowdy on her. I mean, it reminded me of a nun, you know, and so this was a far cry from that. And this reflected her ability, you know, and so I was like, I'm good with this. I like the costume change.
And I think it kind of personifies her coming out of her brother's shadow. That she is her own woman now. Now that she has I don't know if she's demonstrated yet, but she has she can now generate that light on her own without having to.
When she flies away, she's showing it off.
Yeah. So that the costume reflects that, you know, that she's now, she can generate the light. And I don't know if they did he ever establish if she could still do it with her, if she grabs North Star, can they still do it? Or is it just,
not during Byrne's run?
Yeah.
Was that established?
Yeah.
John and I were just having a long discussion about this during this morning over coffee, because we were talking about, you know, where does Byrne's run end and where do the characters continue from that point, you know, kind of thing. So, because I read up to, I think I stopped around issue 102, 104, somewhere around there. So
You stayed on much longer than me. Yeah, well,
You're a glutton for punishment.
I stopped during the mid 90s at a certain part around issue 49. But when we decided we were going to do this, I wanted to read farther into the series. But I just got burned out with it again. I'll eventually finish the whole thing some point down the road.
49, would that have been about the time that certain individuals were established as being elves?
Was it?
That is a big argument, Kirk.
Okay, let's not get into it.
Yeah, let's
Well,
save that for later.
well, that was like
Oh,
later. They
shit.
did that with a lot of them. They had that altered kind of backstory for Puck, which I wasn't a
Yeah.
big fan of. I think I was off the book by the time they established that they were elves or fairies or something like that. I think I
Yeah.
jumped off probably. I probably stayed on maybe 15 more issues after Byrne left.
Yeah.
So,
Okay,
yeah.
can
I raise something that I'm looking at the original copy that I bought, and on page 5, in the top panel, where they've just stopped Sasquatch from doing his work.
Does he have a yellow hand?
That's what I was going to raise. Yeah, he's got a yellow right hand. I'm assuming that's a coloring
It's a
mistake.
coloring issue because his
Yes.
other hand is orange.
Yes. But is it altered in anything you guys are looking at, or?
It's been corrected in the trade.
I'm looking at a
Yeah.
scan, so I'm looking at the same thing you're looking at, Nigel.
Right. Yeah.
But I remember, for some reason, I remember noticing that when I had the floppy issue originally and didn't know what the deal was.
It's the same
Yeah.
color as the guy's jacket or his
That's
vest.
it. Yes.
Thank you for
So
catching that then. That
yeah.
might be
But
this
when
that
you look
they.
at the next panel, it's back to being orange. So it's only that one panel
They did
that
something
the
wrong with the
hand,
plate.
Somebody just didn't finish that off. Make it orangey. Yeah.
I've got a question on sec. We'll say the opening page, the splash is, to your point, Kirk, it's that one of those burn poses he likes to repurpose. But the splash page is great. This whole silent, it's all silent really, except for the sound effects of him doing all this, and you don't really know what he's doing. You think he's, and I think you're he we are being kind of a red herring here. You think, oh, he's gone crazy. He's lost control. And then you find out. Because then my guy goes, okay, Sasquatch, and he kind of turns like he's angry. And he's like, no, we'll take it from here. Thanks. I can't tell. I can't tell if he's redirecting a river or water. It looks almost like he's punched a hole in this mountain, and the water's coming through the mountain.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought, yeah, water, where's it coming from all of a sudden?
I couldn't
Looks like the
tell.
Matterhorn at Disneyland.
Log flume, yeah.
Very much log flumey.
What about the Spanish proverb on the opening page then, yeah? El oro y amores serán malos de encubre. Golden love affairs are difficult to hide. Very, very appropriate to the
Very,
story.
very appropriate.
What'd
What
you
do you
think
think
of the
that?
initial cover?
I
I
like
thought it
it.
was good.
I like
It's
it a
good.
lot.
It's good. Yeah, it's nice.
It's
Really?
very creepy and like, what the heck are we
It's that
getting
I
into?
creep. Yeah, it gives you a bit of a creepy feeling,
Well, Burns
And
always
then
been
when
good
the way,
about he's always been good at rendering metallic surfaces, whether it's like a chrome or a gold or something like that.
And
Although,
the way she first appears to Aurora in the comic is like typical sort of creepy film style, isn't it? She's just not there, and then she turns around and she's there,
and
hovering
this,
over her.
yeah, the style, the way he's drawn her cloak or what she's wear, what Gilded Lily is wearing is very reminiscent of
It's a
Erte's
lily.
style of his of the women from that, Art Deco style kind of thing, which is fantastic. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of this villain, but I love the art style around her, kind of thing.
Yeah,
Now,
she's
does she?
she.
Sorry, I'm gonna.
Oh, go ahead, Kirk.
Fred, you've read a little bit further on. I don't mean to steal Tim's thunder, but after this story arc, Do we ever see her again?
No.
No.
Well, I think
Good.
I, I. Well, no, I. That's
As
not
it
true
should
because I looked on the wiki. Just I was curious, the same thing, and
be.
it didn't say when, but at one point she does come back. She comes back to harass Alpha Flight.
Terrific.
I don't know when, but
Are you as Gilded Lily?
kind of. It just said that. I'll go ahead and spoil it. It says she comes back, and knowing what happens at the end of 21, she somehow the house or the what's left of the house is rebuilt as a base, rebuilt as a headquarters for Alpha Flight, and somehow her spirit had embodied the house, so she was able to take control of the house and harass his Alpha Flight. So
Not remembering that, but
that may be
it's
a years
after
down the road. I don't know.
burn, yeah,
Much
definitely
after,
after
yeah, much
burn.
after, yeah.
Yeah. I
Like,
mean,
there's. Oh, go ahead.
no, I say she's kind of like Deadly Earnest. I don't think. I mean, he comes back once, and that's it. They don't make these villains are kind of one and dones.
Yeah, she reminds me a little bit of Nemesis, and but Nemesis is was Deadly Earnest's counterpart, right? So we've already
Was
seen
it daughter?
Nemesis. She killed him. But I don't know if she ever I don't know if she ever comes back.
The character comes
Nemesis?
back.
Yeah, Nemesis.
Well,
Yeah, the
certainly
cat.
not in Burns It Run, but she does
Yeah,
appear
no. Yeah.
relatively quickly.
Yeah,
The
not in
character
Burns
comes
Run.
in.
No.
And at one point, I read a wiki that Heather takes over the Nemesis role at
Oh,
some
God.
far, far
Oh.
down future iteration of the team. Which I was trying to get to go, well, how did this happen? Kind of thing. But again, that's outside of the burn run, so let's not go
Yeah.
there.
Yeah.
What do we think about? Oh,
No,
go ahead.
go ahead, Fred.
I was gonna say, what do we think of like Elizabeth's reaction where she's trying to get rid of the coronet kind of thing? and tries to get stop being talisman and be like, no, I don't want to do this. She reminds me of like a stubborn teenager kind of thing. Like she's never gotten over Michael abandoning the family kind of thing.
She can't get the headband off, yeah.
Yeah, she can't get the headband off. She's stuck,
And it's like, oh, I never got a chance to tell you. You can't take that
Oh
off.
yeah, I guess not.
Oh, no.
Well,
Yeah.
it's
I think she's entirely justified
Yeah, if she was,
in
yeah.
being PO'd that she's been
Yeah.
hornswoggled into this or whatever the
Well, she
expression you
wasn't
want to
even
use.
Hornswoggled. I mean, yeah, she didn't volunteer at all,
Yeah,
but it
she's
wasn't like
yeah.
her Michael's, tricked her into putting this on or whatever. It's all kind of
She put it on
divine,
herself, like exactly.
preordained,
Yeah,
yeah.
divine right,
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah. But I like, she says there, hold it a minute. 72 hours ago, I was just an art college student. And now I'm, yeah, this amazing character that was, yeah, your coming has been foretold for centuries.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Well, it's
So
interesting
she didn't want to play.
that when Snowbird is telling her basically that you're basically she's you're giving me a messianic delusions, and he says that's not exactly wrong. And then Michael's like, wait a minute, wait a minute. The way she was raised, she only knows of one Messiah. You got to be careful. She's getting confused. And I think that kind of shows that Michael, was kind of, I guess we say, was raised like, well, like the white man. He went and became a doctor, but then he embraced his own heritage. And I don't think she has done that. She went off. She left her father or whatever happened, and hadn't seen him
Wasn't she
forever.
raised by Heather's family?
Yeah, at one
Okay, so she
stage,
was
yes,
raised,
yeah.
and so she did not have her background to embrace. She
Right.
was
She was
raised
raised outside the reservation, out of the
exactly.
First Nation groups. Yeah.
And so you can tell almost by the way she talks and the way he talks that he has much more embraced his role as medicine man and shaman. And she is like, no, I don't want any of that. That's a typical hero. I don't want this. I don't want this,
Yeah.
it's like Sarah Connor. Oh, when she's talking to Kyle on the bridge, she goes, I don't want this honor. I don't want to be the savior of the world, And they're like, oh, you got no choice.
And I love how Snowbird's cloak keeps shortening, growing in this discussion,
Oh
in this
yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, it hits the back of her knee, then it sweeps all the way to the floor, and then it's somewhere in between. It's like, girl, figure that out, because that's not handy during a fight.
It's like,
Maybe it's because it's kind of a living
it's part of her,
extension
I
of
think. Yeah.
herself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Spawn's cape. When McFarlane would draw Spawn, and he would have a 40-foot cape, as long as he'd have a short cape. So,
Yeah. But
Yeah,
again,
what
that
do you think
bit.
of the thing between Heather and Puck, that he's
I always felt that was I always felt that was a weird relationship. It was like a little creepy, a little stalkery. It was like, yeah, no, I was never comfortable with it.
It's the Wolverine Jean Grey thing. It's the, you know, he's got the hots for her. And then it's interesting, Michael basically says, oh, she may reach out to you. I think he says, I think it's unlikely, but if she does, you don't shy away from her. You don't have to give in to her. And it doesn't sound like, yeah, get into a relationship with her, but give her, I don't know, advice or help or whatever there is.
I
Yeah.
like
I'm
that.
gonna say the last time I'm sorry, the first time I read this, I never noticed that sort of going on. I just saw it as being, you know, that I suppose all of them were concerned about her having lost Mac. I never saw anything any deeper than that. It was only after we've talked about it before on other podcasts, and it's been mentioned that I started to see it then, and I thought, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it is a bit creepy.
Well, he says, I can do anything to help you, .. in any way, meaning, you know, I'll do whatever I'll do whatever, you know.
Yeah.
You know, and then especially as we move later into the series, it's just kind of creepy, you know, kind
It's
of
a
thing. It
little,
just.
yeah. Considering how old, well, how old we find out he really is.
Correct. Correct. You know, yeah, it's struck me as a little icky kind of thing, a little problematic, and not. There's no good resolution for what is going on there. You know, it continues long past John Burns. And I think because of the way Burns started this, they couldn't ditch it easy, you know, later on after he left the title. It just, and nobody handles it well, I guess. So I'll just say that.
Well, I'll be the dissenter in the room. I disagree. I didn't find it creepy. I
Okay.
felt it warm and genuine, and I'll take a page from what Nigel said, that you know, it was just for me, it was a friend reaching out and being supportive of her as Logan was and might be. And you know, I take this as Shaman warning Judd, you know, be careful. She may reach out for you, and you can't burn her, no pun intended, but you know.
Right. Well, I think he's saying she's really going to need you, but don't mistake that for it going somewhere deeper. I think she's going to need your, you know, I think that, yeah, he's not necessarily doing anything inappropriate. He's definitely carrying a torch for her, but I don't think he's trying to do, no, he's not obviously hitting on her, I think, but he is hoping that, hey, maybe we could, and he's just trying to bide his time. It's too early. Because I don't know. I can't remember how much time has passed. I think it's only got about a month or so, right? Since is that one issue started a month later, right after he had died, and then this has been a couple of weeks. So maybe it's been a couple of months since Mac's dead. So,
But not a lot
but
longer.
no.
Because all these things could have been happening at the same time, yeah,
Yeah.
because
Well, I think a lot of these
all
stories
those,
are.
yeah,
Yeah, they're overlapping.
they're all supposed to be happening.
I got a
So what
question on
what
the when they go
yeah.
to I'm gonna move on to Walter and Aurora getting to the island when they finally get there.
The house. Yeah.
And I just noticed, I didn't notice on page 16 at the top, I didn't notice that Lily is pulling the shades back. I didn't
Oh
notice that
yeah. Oh
watching
yeah.
it.
He says
It's
he's
a
only been there
classic.
once, like 30 years ago. He came there as a kid with his parents. and his mom took a like immediate dislike to the place. So what has Gilded Lily been doing? I mean, after she kind of got her revenge, which is I think the eight statues that she's got. I'm kind of jumping ahead here, but what, she just living in the house? What was she doing? Just hanging out there? That was
Maybe
it?
we'll find out in the next issue.
Anyone catch the name of Walter's boat?
No, I didn't even notice it.
No.
On page 14,
Gamma.
on the prow of the ship, it says Gamma Gal.
Gal.
Where do you see
Gamma
that? So it's on page
Oh,
14.
okay.
Yeah. I see
Front
it. I
left
see
of the
it. It's
boat.
the overhead shot when they're looking in.
Oh,
I had
okay.
to
Gamma Gal.
I had to zoom in a little bit to see it, but I was like, oh, okay, what's that? Brian usually points out stuff like that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, Brian's the first one to like, can anybody read that?
I forget
Yeah.
about that.
And we also in this that same panel, we get a little nod that Aurora's feeling the cold, and she says, I never felt the cold before. And he's like, well, you know, we just messed with your DNA, that's all, you know. So there may be some changes we don't know about, you know.
Well, isn't that part of Walter's fear, is that, you know, he performed these experiments on her, but he wasn't 100% sure what the outcome could be. And so he's slightly concerned that what she's expressing and maybe some of the merging of personality is mainly because of whatever he did to her as an
It's
experiment.
possible, yeah. Well, she agreed
Good
to it
point.
awfully quickly. That's like, yeah,
Well,
you
yeah.
know, yeah, we're, you know, and she just said, I just wanted my powers to be different. She didn't say what way. She just wanted to be different than her brother. So, you know, she could have got, you know, she could have become the thing, you know, who knows what kind of.
Yeah. It's a
I've got
very
something for
fancy
you.
house, I will say that, for being on an island that
It
nobody
is,
goes
yeah.
to.
What did you first think when I saw the house? What do you think? Adam's family? Monsters?
Adam, yeah. Monsters, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got one for you. I can't tell you what page number it was because I'm looking at the trade, but as the page where Walter disappears, where he leans against the panel and slips.
Yeah.
The top of that page,
17.
okay, the top of 17, as Aurora's going off down the hall, look at the reflection in the mirror.
I see it.
And is
See
that
it.
not the silhouette of Gilded
Really?
Lily?
Gilded Lily. Could be.
Could be.
Oh,
I've never
it's
seen
got,
that
yeah.
before.
I didn't
It's
know.
got the right shape.
I'm not suggesting that that's Aurora's reflection, but I'm not
No, I don't
certain
think
how it
so.
couldn't be.
No, it could be. And maybe it's a two-way mirror.
Well, when Fred falls back, it almost looks like the that opening to Scooby-Doo, when Fred is sitting in the chair and he falls back into the wall.
That's stupid.
Yeah. How old is Walter? I mean, is because I mean the sail this captain's outfit for yachting and his glasses makes him look like he's 50 or something. I'm like, I didn't think Walter was that old. I thought he was like a
No, he's
30
not.
year old, you know, maybe max, but
Well, if
they've
he
got him
wasn't
dressed
maybe 40s.
if he hadn't been a like a football star, I'd say he's kind of nerdy and doesn't know how to dress cool. He thinks this is how people dress, but he was a, you know, he was a college guy. He was in football. I think he knows kind of how to dress. I don't, he just may be wanting to play dress up.
It's a horrible outfit.
What do you think? What do we think of this? It's never quite explained, this zone of darkness, whatever this is. Because she says it's the lights and it's not,
Lights.
and why she doesn't light herself up, I
Yeah,
don't know.
it's
But
kind of not there.
that never occurred to me that she could.
yeah. I think Walter points it out in the issue I'm going to cover. He says, she said, you could have, you know, you can fly, you can generate light, you know, you could have done a lot of things. Why didn't you know, defend
And
yourself?
as we'll find her response
Yeah.
next issue.
So I
And
don't know
then,
what this seemed to be something unnatural that the light it seems to be, and that maybe it's something that we're doing to do with alchemy. Until she comes to the
Yeah,
hall
because
of
it's not, it's
statues.
kind of not natural, yeah, but it's Byrne doing his white out again, only in
Yes,
reverse.
you're right.
It's the blackout this
Yeah.
time, yeah. Just to get those fans moaning again who didn't like the issue six.
And, you know, if that's what it takes to keep interest in your book and have people who like, wow, I got to see this. Let me go find that.
Yeah.
Issue. Mm-hmm. You know, I give him a lot of credit for playing the fans.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and he, you know, he saves himself two pages there, probably putting back on schedule.
Well, as we've heard, he drew out those. Well, as we've discussed before, I have seen pages where he has laid out, even in the whiteout, the positions of the characters that then were not inked, were not printed. So yeah, he got paid for a page of artwork.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
That was not, that was chosen not to be printed. So I don't, you know, more power to him. He got paid for it and they still pulled off the stunt. And it's like,
yeah,
give him a lot of credit. What do you think of the gold statues? Did this happen? Did this come out before The Further Adventures of Indiana Jones?
I don't know about that, but I'll tell you what it does remind me of. And
yeah,
in Iron Man, round about 104, 105, 106, 107, there was a story where Midas took over Stark International, and he, of course, has the power to, when he touches things or people, they turn to gold. And he did that with some of the characters at one stage in the story. He touched, I think there was Iron Man, Madam Mask, Jack of Hearts, maybe another couple, and he kind of turns them to gold. And it's a similar thing. They're still alive within this gold encasement, especially in the case of Tony Stark, because with him being within the armor anyway, although the armor's like turned to gold and he can't move, he's still himself inside the armor. And when I saw these statues, it immediately reminded me of that story, because Midas has them all like lined up in a row, and he's gloating, you know, when he's gloating over the fact that he's turned them all to gold. And I thought, oh, this is just like, yeah, the Iron Man story with Midas.
So it's not like Gargoyle, who, when somebody, I think, when he turns somebody to stone, they are not aware of.
No,
they revert back.
No, they were. Well, maybe the other characters were not aware that they were gold. But as I say, with Stark being in the armor, only the armor was gold. So he was still himself, but trapped inside. Yeah.
Well, it reminded me of, go ahead.
I got a little bit of Goldfinger vibe.
Yeah.
Well, there's a horror film, a remake of House of Wax, if you've seen it, stars Paris Hilton, and similar to that, where they capture people and they make like a wax statue of themselves, but you find that the person is inside, covered in all this wax. And there's a similar scene where I think an eye moves like this. The only thing I don't understand is all of these guys look like they're in nice poses. But as we see, and with what we see in the last page with Walter, who seems a little distressed or surprised to be turned to gold.
Yeah.
I don't know how she got these guys to pose this way and then turn them into
gold.
Yeah.
Although she does say later she wants to put Aurora in a certain pose. She goes, I'm going to have to find a nice pose.
I did a little research while we've been on the air here, and Indiana Jones is the beginning of 1983. This issue, we're at about 1985, March 1985. Yes, yeah. So Indy came first.
And what does that have to do with being covered in gold?
The cliffhanger at the end of, I believe, the first issue of Indiana Jones, for those who haven't read it, there are, I don't know if it's 8 or 12 golden figures that he stumbles upon. They are what he's been looking for.
No,
I'll leave it at that. I don't want to get off on a tangent.
I think, but I've covered that with Brian, and I don't. I absolutely forgot that anything about that story.
The visuals are very similar, though. The concept of why and how it happens is different, but it was recent enough in my head as I first bought these issues that it popped to mind. It's like, oh, is he going to go for a tie here? But he didn't. So,
well, if you've ever seen, has anybody ever seen the Doc Savage movie with Ron Ely from probably 77?
Doc Savage.
Long,
yeah.
A long time ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't
There at
remember
the
much
very end of
about it.
that, there's a tribe or something. They've got this molten pool of gold and it explodes and there's a guy caught outside, and when they come out of like the cave or whatever, he's completely covered. He's gilded. He's completely covered in gold. But
Is it a
Classic
good
move.
movie? I'll go look for it. It's
It's
classic.
cheesy, but it's not.
Cheesy.
I think it's Dino De Laurentiis. It's hard to find. I don't think it's never been on DVD, no
Horrendous.
Blu-ray, and I never see it on TV. But
It's let me say, it's available because it's on my media server.
all right.
So it's out there.
Yeah, it's out there. I've just never seen it like to buy.
You might even be able to go to YouTube and just
probably
type in Doc
watch,
Savage.
yeah, and just
That's what I was
watch the
going
whole
to
movie. Yeah.
do.
He was kind of riding high from his, I'm sure they picked him because it was in the 60s he played Tarzan.
Yeah, Ron Eli.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a fun movie. I mean,
Yeah.
keep in mind, yeah, I mean, you really have to dial in on what year did it come out. I mean, it was pre Star
Star Wars
Wars,
special
pre
effects.
Indiana
Yeah.
Jones. Yeah. I mean, it was all before that. And it's still a good movie. It's one of those 1970s overlooked sci-fi classics, basically. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Highly
Those
recommend
books are, I've
it.
been slowly collecting all those. Those are great. I love those. They're great pulpy books that were written in the 30s.
Okay, anybody with any more comments on this issue 20 of Alpha Flight
Nope.
before
I think
we
we
move
can
on?
move
Have
on
we
to.
think we've covered that yet? Yeah. So let's move on to Alpha Flight number 21, which is that you, Tim?
We have got Alpha Flight issue 21. Our writer artist is John Byrne. Our inker is Bob Wycheck. Our color is Andy Yankus. That's how I'm going to pronounce it, Kirk. Our letterer is Rick Parker. Editor is Denny O'Neill and Don Daly. And our editor in chief is Jim Shooter. This had a cover date of April 85 with an on sale date of January 2nd, 1985. And I think this one, I don't remember the other one, but this one now has jumped to 65 cents. I think the other one might have been 60 or the
Yep,
last.
that's right.
Yeah,
Yep,
so
you're right. It's a jump.
jumped a whole nickel.
Shocking.
Yeah. Our other books are Epic Illustrated, where you're continuing the Last Galactus story. This is chapter 4, and he was writer artist on that. Fantastic Four 277, he's writer artist. Power Man Iron Fist number 116 is cover art. Spectacular Spider-Man number 101 is cover artist. That's that great black and white shot of him swinging over the city. And Thing number 22, he is writer, and that's the last issue of him writing the Thing. I don't think he comes back to that book. This can be found in Alpha Flight Classics Volume 3, and of course the Alpha Flight John Byrne Omnibus. Our story is entitled Love Wrought New Alchemy. Gilded Lily explains her backstory to Aurora, that a century ago she met and fell in love with Esteban Diablo and learned many of his alchemical techniques before he was imprisoned underground by the fearful populace. And if you know how he got out of that, just read Fantastic Four, the early issues. I think it's 17, 18, something.
30.
30.
30? Is it? Okay.
Yes.
Seducing them, then encasing them in gold to, oh, I've lost something. She then dedicated her life to tracking down the men that betrayed Diablo, seducing them and then encasing them in gold to torture them for revenge. She grabs the uncharacteristically helpless Aurora and takes her to her lab, intending to gild her as well. Meanwhile, Walter comes to in his statue form and transforms into Sasquatch to break free. Meanwhile, Snowbird is flying over northern Alberta when she's suddenly briefly overcome with pain, causing her to crash into the snow. Bewildered, she notes that only the gods could strike her at her being that way, and wonders why. Back to the house. Sasquatch searches in the dark until he finds what he feels to be a door. He crashes through to find Lily's lab, where she's about to transmute Aurora. Lily throws a few drops of liquid, and the stone floor comes alive and attacks the orange giant. Walter starts to smash the lab as Lily turns to escape. Sasquatch grabs her cloak, revealing a gold mechanical body with what is left of her organics encased in glass. Thinking she's a robot, he grabs at her mask, removes it, uncovering a horrified, aged face that immediately crumbles to dust once exposed. And then the entire interior of the mansion follows suit, leaving only the shell of the house over a deep pit of white dust. When Sasquatch asks Aurora how Lily managed to capture her despite her powers, she changes the subject. Sasquatch thinks that what's happening with her mind isn't quite like Jean Marie taking over and wonders if yet a third personality is developing. The end.
Yeah. Good summary.
Right off the wiki, and I added a little bit of my own to it. And I will point out that, and they pointed out that the cover, Diablo does not actually fight Alpha Flight in this issue, despite what the cover says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those covers, misleading.
Yeah.
We don't get,
I thought it was a nice tie-in, though, to Marvel history.
It is, and I thought it was interesting because he wasn't Byrne's first continuing issue on FF. He dealt with Diablo, right? It featured Diablo. And I thought that was a tie-in here. I didn't realize it was to the Kirby Lee. Yeah,
234. You're 233 or 234?
232. Yeah. 232.
I like how Byrne got his name in the artwork on the cover.
Really? Where?
I've not
right
seen
below
it,
Sasquatch's hand.
Oh, yeah. It's the smoke kind of.
Oh, very good.
I didn't notice that. I thought that smoke looked weird, but yeah, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought that was really cool. Clever. I didn't catch it until right now, but.
Yeah. Well, this cover is, to me, it doesn't feel like a Byrne cover. And it's not the artwork. It just doesn't feel like his
work. It's funny you should say that because I've been thinking the same. But then I thought, but is it just me? Because it is Byrne, but yet,
I think it's the layout. His layout that he's doing, it just doesn't feel a little.
The mechanics in the front seem very Byrne-esque.
Yeah,
like the machinery in the foreground seems very Byrne-esque. But the characters in the background don't seem to have the detail that I've noticed that John Byrne likes to put into it. They seem very superficial.
Mm. Wonder why he forgot to do the background.
Maybe I was wondering, was he pushed for time and somebody else did the background kind of thing, and then he just put a foreground element in there? I don't know.
I would love to know why he decided to go with Diablo on the front instead of them fighting Lily. Unless it's just they don't know who Lily is. Diablo is a popular character.
It'll sell the comic better.
Exactly. Maybe they're hoping to sell the book. But if and I guess Lily doesn't have really any offensive weapons. So what would she be doing if she was fighting him? Unless she was making the floor come alive the way she did with the few drops of whatever she was cooking up.
I've just looked on the Grand Comic Book Database, and it does, as you suggested, all the credits for the cover, John Byrne on pencils and inks. There's no word on who the colorist is or letterer. Well, so you're right. He did it.
Well, he could have done it. And, he could have done it quickly. It doesn't ruin the story. It's just if you really wanted to see Diablo, and he is in the book. He just doesn't have an offensive role. It's all in this, and a big chunk of this issue is to this sepia tone flashback of him, and it's interesting that he hides her face. You never see her face at all until the very end. Even the flashback, it's all in shadow. So
so in some ways it's very much like a Universal monster movie Dracula, hiding in light and shadows. I mean, that's kind of what he's playing with here.
Well, it looks like this looks like kind of like a Hammer horror film.
Right. That's what I mean.
Yeah. And it's very well detailed. He's some of the detail in these flashback scenes is really incredible. It's really nicely done. The coloring is very muted, but I think that fits the what's going on. I will ask, on page 3, which is the first of the flashback, we see the car, second panel from the top, the car is going over.
Yeah.
Does it look like her husband looks like he's pushing her out of the car? You think he is, to save her maybe, and he's going over because he dies?
Oh, I don't know. I think that's...
Or he's grabbing for her. I
couldn't
tell. I can
see where you make that call, but I don't know.
I would not think that he was throwing her. That doesn't match with the narrative.
No,
It almost looks like he had put his hand out to stop her from...
That's what I was thinking. Maybe he's trying to grab her.
you know, he's trying to grab a hold of her, I think, more than
Yeah.
anything else.
Because I think it's implied that she fell out, and that's why she survived, and he stayed with the car, and that's why he said he was killed instantly.
I like the sepia toned flashback a great deal. The only thing that I would, you know, I recognize that it's Diablo, that's the selling point of this issue. But why, for once he reveals himself, why does he stay in that outfit for literally the rest of the time that we see him, never going back to his charming self?
Yeah, because some of those
Diablo's
experiments
often
could be
been
dangerous.
he's often been portrayed as a bit of a bumbler, that he's a con artist, that his he promises one thing but he can't deliver, and that his schemes fall apart because he can't deliver. This implies the opposite. As she tells the tale, he was a very competent, wonderful sorcerer, if you will. And I wonder if she's looking at him through rose-colored glasses.
That's
But at
possible.
any rate, that's
That's
this is her interpretation of who Diablo is, not who Diablo really is.
I agree.
Hence the reason I think for the sepia tone.
Yes,
You know,
yeah.
because you're not supposed to see him as himself. You're seeing him as she would have seen him.
Yeah. And he's kind of, and even the way he's kind of drawn like Christopher Lee. I could see Lee easily playing this character if they did a film of it.
I'm getting a Mr. Sinister vibe off of him for some reason. I don't know why, but just a vibe.
Well, Kirk, fill me in here because I haven't read the issue in I don't know how long. What is he? Because this is in Transylvania, so if this is where the FF find him initially, what are they doing in Transylvania?
Well, that's a good question. It occurred to me when you were talking about her being thrown out of the car. I'm not, it's not clear to me here if she is a European silent film star, or, you know, I haven't read this in detail. But all of this flashback, because it has to wind up with him being imprisoned in Transylvania, all of this sepia stuff has to occur there. And then as she recovers her life, or follows in his footsteps, she can go anywhere that she wants. And apparently is wound up here in British Columbia, is this? But, you know.
She says she works her way. I think she eventually, because she travels all over when she's trying to get revenge, and that's when I think she makes her way back to England, and then somehow she makes it back, you know, to I think it's off Vancouver Island somewhere.
That could be. By the way, I've been to Vancouver, and I've been to British Columbia, and I've got to tell you, especially as you get to, oh, I want to say Victoria Island, but don't hold me to that. This sort of architecture and the time that that area was built, this is period perfect. I mean, Byrne knows what he's writing here, because you know, we're talking about the era of the Transcontinental Railroad, the Trans Canadian Railroad, and the various, I want to say, lodges, railroad lodges and mansions all across the country. So this architecture fits perfectly with the development of the fishing industry and the timber industry on that side of the continent. That's all I've got to say about that.
Yeah, Vancouver. I've been to Victoria Island. It's nice. I
Yeah,
do
I'm
like the
just
fact that
looking here, isn't
he's even when they're working, what she shows them working together, and they're wearing the little mask. He's wearing his over his costume, of course. And that's when the townspeople go after him and throw him down the well, and then set him off. And she stabs a guy with that torch.
Yeah, to escape, yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, we're just looking that. Yeah, the FF were on vacation in Transylvania when they
Oh, okay.
found the castle of
Oh, was that
Diablo.
what you were asking? I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you were asking how Alpha Flight got to
No. Yeah, I was
Transylvania.
asking. No.
About FF, yeah. They were on vacation. I couldn't remember it. Yeah, and they were walking, they were exploring the forests, and they come across this castle, and then the thing, yeah, unwittingly frees
He pulls,
Diablo.
it's kind of like a big plug, a
Yeah,
big stone
pulls the
plug, and
cork out.
yeah, the
Yeah,
cork.
yeah, and he frees Diablo. Yeah,
Then she, it's a little
giving you.
vague.
Go ahead.
I'll say it's a little vague. as she basically they spent a year together, and she learned a great deal from him. And then when he was gone, she continued to he taught her everything except the elixir of life, or whatever he calls it. So she doesn't, she is aging. So she keeps looking and trying and trying and trying, and then she manages to actually turn lead to gold. And somehow through that, she learns a way to prolong her life or preserve it in some way. And then that's when
Yeah,
she goes on the revenge.
it's very vague because her nature isn't revealed until page 10, I think, in the top right. She's obviously peeling back her skin, and there's a mechanical hand under there, but at no
Yes.
point is it explained where she becomes mechanical
That's
up
a good
until that
point, 'cause
point.
I didn't get that, Fred, that her it is. She's peeling it. I thought she was wearing some kind of glove she'd created, and that was
Yeah,
what.
no, she's.
So I don't know how much it's not. I think it's only 10 years later, so she's not really that much older, unless through the process she, I don't know, lost her humanity, and that's why
Yeah, well,
she has
maybe
she.
with all, yeah, with all
Yeah, because
the
obviously this.
experiments and things, maybe she damaged her skin on
Maybe.
her hands and it all,
True,
yeah.
true. It could be because she obviously doesn't have the same body that we see at the end, which has
No, no.
like these little wheels at the bottom. I thought it was kind of
Yeah.
hilarious.
Very steampunky.
Exactly. If this was being drawn today, then they would lean into that steampunk, wouldn't they? This is why when she turns this guy to gold, it seems a little painful. That's why I wonder how she got the other people to pose that way.
Suppose.
Yeah, to pose that way. But she does say she was going to pose Aurora because she said, I've never had the opportunity of creating a female statue, and I must choose a proper pose, correct display for you. So maybe that's it. Maybe she. Well, at least I guess the guys die, but the seems to be if the she implies that they are preserved, they're not dead, and they are conscious, they just can't see. And she says it's probably a boring existence. And obviously, when she dies, the house goes with her. I
Well,
think.
that's what I thought. When I first read this, I thought the house had done a total collapse.
No,
But
it's just
then
like the
upon
interior.
reading this, it's like, well, no, the superstructure is there, but some of the interior, and we don't know where her lab was. I mean, literally, there's this passage of darkness that you don't know where that's at. But whatever that collapses, I mean, I can see it. It's a fair springboard for a future story if you want to bring her back or have her grown, possess the mansion. You know, I can see the springboard for that. But on the other hand, she should be gone. I mean, it's like some of these characters do not deserve to
They
return. I
don't,
don't care
no.
how desperate the current writer is. Some of these concepts should not be brought back because it cheapens them. So.
So I wonder if she came back as a dream sequence, because there was in Beyond the Burn Years, there was a dream character. And so my thought is if they brought her back, they brought her back not as her real self, but more of a in a dream nature, possibly.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, it was Beyond the Burn Years, so you may not be.
Believe me, I
Oh,
was surprised
okay.
when somebody says that, well, it's spoilers here, if you don't already know. I was very surprised to discover that they came back to this location and took over this location as their headquarters. So it's like, oh, okay.
I
So,
was.
yeah.
Hey, land is land. Apparently, it's Alpha Flight Annual number one, which is like 2 years later, is when she comes back and apparently dies. So she comes back and then immediately dies.
Oh, okay.
I guess
I'll
that's
have to
when
go
it,
check that out.
yeah. Which, and even the Zone of Darkness thing, when Walter's in it, he comes across these light panels that Aurora apparently didn't see, and he says they're not windows, they're not really illuminating anything. They're just some kind of lit squares on the wall. He's not sure, and then he still can't. They're not lighting anything up because he has to feel around until he feels where he thinks is door, and whether it's a door or not, he breaks through it into the lab.
Well, that may be an in joke if Byrne is writing about the character feeling panels but can't see anything in them.
Maybe.
That's a little tongue in cheek.
Well, and even even when he breaks in and we see Aurora suspended over this, I'm assuming it's a vat of gold. That, yeah. Okay, is she going to dip her? Because that's not how she changed the other people. She just touched him. So I don't know why she needs to dip her in the gold.
Well, the damsel in distress.
Yeah, it's a, it makes
for... Oh, no, save me, save me.
Yeah, it makes for a good cover. I mean, that's a nicely drawn. She's kind of strung up in her bikini. And then I don't know what... And then Gilda Lee's got some vat of bubbling red that she throws on the ground, and that's what, and I don't know if the ground actually says the stones or the floor itself attacking almost alive. And I don't know if it's an illusion, but he smashes and he starts smashing everything else, and she just turns about and goes, okay, I don't have time for this, and starts just wheeling herself away. And that's where he rips the which looks a little like, if you've seen the new RoboCop film, the way he looks when he's got all his parts taken off, he's just got these two lungs encased in glass, or even a little oh god, what's the guy from Star Wars with the six arm, with the four arms?
General
Star Wars. He's the robot. Oh.
General Grievous.
General Grievous, exactly.
Yeah.
So I guess she's just been replacing her body parts. So.
Yeah. Well, some of this is meant to be mysterious.
Yeah.
And some of it is supposed to be moody and not have a clear explanation. And, you know, if you have to have an answer for every little thing, your suspension of disbelief is, you know, it's a comic book.
Yeah. And I guess alchemy is supposed to be somewhat, you know,
mystical, magical.
Exactly. You don't know what.
Timey-wimey.
And I wonder what you know, Sasquatch is like. I don't know what he thinks she's a robot. Is he kind of rip her head off? He just takes her mask off, and then it's kind of like that reveal of the master we had a couple of issues ago when he gets his helmet ripped off. She's just all.
Oh, I didn't make that connection. That's good. I had thought of that.
She's kind of like this living skeleton, and then just immediately crumbles to dust.
And Walter's eyes are red. Again, see him in 18.
Aren't his eyes always red?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
I thought they were always.
I know on the cover of what is it, 8 or 9, when they have the close up on the cover, they're red then.
Yeah.
So maybe they are always red, but I found great significance in the fact that they are red in this story arc because of what's coming.
Yeah.
I think he can just sometimes he draws his eyes to be almost like they're glowing red or depending on what they're doing, but.
Yeah.
So are we about finished on this one?
This one kind of just it wraps up quick. I mean, it's
quick. Yeah,
it's mostly backstory, and then
the place collapses. Like we say, everything sort of turns to dust within.
I love
that
Walter's
area.
Sneeze.
Yeah,
within within that area that she was, living or working in, but then. The house itself, like on the last page, that long panel on the left, like she's still up there in the house because she's looking down on Sasquatch. Yeah,
yeah, she flew up.
She's flown up to that part, which is the foundation of the house. Yeah, so the house is still there, or some of it.
It's like a facade. It's just empty on the inside.
Yeah, it's just the walls and things. Yeah. The insides are gone. Yeah.
And you assume at some point over the many years, Lily just dug down through all of that as she was building her lab and living on the island and, you know, creating her lair kind of thing.
So I can't remember. So is this... Gilda Lily, she's really what her name is, Von Lunt or Von, what did you say your name was? Is she actually related to Walter through his mother? Doesn't that make her?
It's some form of relationship. I don't recall the reading that in my issue I should have, but I didn't. Sorry. Yes, there is some relation that it comes down through his family, but I can't recall what it is.
Yeah. I'm going to go back and see if I can find
it. And Wiki just says she's retired to the island. Doesn't say that, but Walter says it was his aunt, right? Or great aunt or something that she had 8 or 9 husbands. Maybe I don't know if she is actually.
So Walter says Tamarind Island Aurora has been in the family for years, but it's always seemed too isolated for us city folks. So it's
Yeah.
part of the
Must be
Lankowski
a great aunt.
inheritance.
Yeah. Yes, so she's a great aunt on his mother's side.
Okay.
Yeah.
So she is. So he basically killed his great aunt.
One would argue that she was already dead.
It's true. It's true. True. Well, the I'm just gonna read this from the wiki. This is her return, which I guess is an Alpha Flight Annual One. It says Lily's spirit became part of the reconstructed house, which was now a
Spirit,
government-sponsored base for Alpha Flight. She controlled the house and turned it against Alpha Flight, capturing Aurora. She was able to temporarily resume a physical form and sent for help from Diablo, whom she was elated to discover was still alive. However, Diablo had recently given up of his life of crime. On top of that, he was not comfortable with the idea of her being his equal. However, she was able to manipulate him into helping her take Aurora's form as her own. Thanks to the timely entry of Alpha Flight, though, Aurora turned the potion against Gilded Lily, who once again turned to dust. So she comes back for an annual and then dies again.
So let's look at that last page and the dialogue between Walter and Aurora here. He asks, "Are you all right? How are you feeling?" And she says, "I'm fine. Why do you ask? Gilded Lily did not have a chance to do anything to me." And he challenges that, saying, "No, I felt she must have done something. I mean, you can fly, you can generate a blinding light, but you could have done none of any of these things. How did she get to trust you up that way?" And she breaks it off, saying, "Walter, it's late. I'm cold. Can we go home, please?" And his final conclusion is, "Something did happen." That's what he concludes. So let's be blunt here. What is the implication that Gilded Lily's personality is now in Aurora's body, or that they had a sexual affair?
Oh, I don't think that. And I don't
I
know. I
think
don't.
what is Byrne trying to imply here?
I think he's
It
just
was the end
basically.
of Wrath of Khan.
I think it's
What?
just he she she's not being honest with him about her when she kind of freaked out a little when she was in the darkness, the zone of darkness, and how she thought her other personality might, because that's usually what would trigger her other personality, might come through. I don't think the fact that Gilded Lily possesses her later, that was Bill Mantlo, and I don't think that's anything that Byrne is. I don't think it's what he's doing here. I don't know what his ultimate plans were.
I think Manilow read this and realized
He
there
might
was room
have.
for interpretation.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons why I ask this is because in the trade, if you turn the page after the next issue, next box for rub out, and Northstar is coming in, you turn the next page and it's not the splash for Alpha Flight or the cover for Alpha Flight 22, not yet. There's a one-page summary of the miniseries Alpha X-Men and Alpha Flight numbers 1 and 2. And we're not going to cover that right now, but I think it's very interesting to see how Byrne has drawn and continued the story in the splash page for 23 with Aurora in identically the same bikini outfit that we've seen her at the end of 22. So you can read this two ways. Either the series continues on, or if chronologically, that's where X-Men and Alpha Flight numbers 1 and 2 drop in, and whatever happens, happens, and they're not going to deal with it in this storyline. So I think it's a rather clever seam, if you will, to insert this other miniseries, but not really have it disrupt the flow of what Byrne's doing. But let's save that synopsis until maybe next episode, when I think we should at least mention it and read through, just so that people are up to speed, even though Byrne didn't have anything to do with it, that as far as I know.
I don't think so. And it's been so long since I've read that, I don't remember hardly any of it.
Yeah, I don't think it has much payoff. I mean, it was an event when it came out. It was really interesting and beautiful artwork, but no lasting repercussions after it at all that I know of.
No, it was
Well, I
like
take that back. I thought of one. Never mind.
it was like the F it was it, they did the FF and X-Men. That was a four issue. Then they did was it FF and Mephisto? They were doing like a four shot miniseries there that to a
And they
point
were
where
of
they
poor
didn't.
quality.
Yeah, they were on. Yeah, they were the they changed the pay. It wasn't on. It was almost like Baxter paper, I think. It was not on
You're right.
paper. It
They
was a
are of
thicker
different
paper.
quality paper.
Yeah. But, well, we have any final
Okay.
words on Gilded Lily?
I think it's a nice little two-issue arc. I like the way that Byrne ties it into early FF history, without totally tying it down or bogging it down. You don't need to know the whole story.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, Tim, I misunderstood your question.
No,
Thank you,
no
Nigel,
worries.
for answering what they were doing there. I didn't understand what he was asking. But I remember Diablo's first appearance. I remember even more vividly his second appearance in the FF as he creates or animates Dragon
Dragon Man.
Man, who has been a long ongoing character creation, what have you. So I was pleased to see him. I enjoyed it a great deal, and it shows Byrne's love for the early Silver Age FF. So I was, even though there are some problems with some of the characterization or inconsistencies here that don't, not everything's answered, I enjoyed this two-part arc.
Yeah,
Yep.
it's been like all the other these kind of monster of the week. It's a fun little story that sprinkles in all these character developments along the way, that kind of build up, you know, instead of having that way he doesn't have to focus on one, okay, this is the Aurora issue and we're gonna deal with
Yeah.
completely with her. He gets to spread them out over multiple issues. And which if we continue, I think we will do 22, 23 together,
Yeah.
and then we'll do 24 as its own because that's a double-sized issue. So we'll probably do that as a
Yep.
standalone. And then we are racing down to the end here. We're gonna be next thing you know,
28 is the last one, right,
yep.
guys? Yeah.
Yes, 28's the last burn artwork.
yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
But I
We're
thought we
gonna be
should do
talking.
29 as well, because it's the second half of
Yeah, I think we can do that. Yeah, that
Well,
would
to
be.
quote Professor Allen, whenever he's presenting a book about Dr. Doom, gee, that's funny. My issue just stops. The rest of the pages in this issue are blank.
Okay,
Well, he
so
does the
yeah.
cover. Doesn't he do the cover for 29? Yes, he does the cover. Oh, he wrote. Actually, he wrote in pencil. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did 29. Yeah, so or 28. I'm sorry. I was thinking
28,
tw yeah,
28,
I was thinking. I was
yeah.
thinking. Yeah, it's the Yonder. That's the
But
handoff
as
between
I
him and Matt
say,
Lone.
as I say, but 28 doesn't end with a nice ending.
The cliffhanger.
It's a
Yeah.
cliffhanger, if you
Yeah.
like. So we need to cover 29 to sort of smoothly round out the stories we've been following anyway.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I agree.
Land the plane.
Cool. Well,
Okay, so
Kirk, you might tell people where they can get a hold of us if they choose to.
I can try. The easiest way, of course, these days is our Facebook page, Third Degree Burn. We respond rather quickly to that. Thank you, Nigel, for posting the tease for this on that. You can also write to us
Welcome.
at gottagetburned@gmail.com. And I'm not familiar with the iTunes method, so I'll ask you to share that.
Was just it's Apple Podcasts is what it's called now. It's not there. I don't think there was
Formerly
no formerly
iTunes.
iTunes. So if you would like to
Yeah.
go there and leave us a five star or whatever star you think we deserve review, that does help people listening on whatever their kind of podcast catchers are using. It kind of helps direct people a little better to our show. But as Kirk said, Facebook is the best way. That's where we post the show. We'll post Kirk's been doing a good job of posting kind of upcoming stuff. And that's the best way to either if you want to, ask a question or something, that's probably monitored better than our email is. So that's our main hub for communication is Facebook.
Okay.
All right. Well,
So, yes, nice discussion on the Alpha Flights 20 and 21. I hope the listeners have enjoyed that. Thank you for listening. And so we will round out for today. So, let's say thank you. Thanks, Tim.
thank you.
Thank you, Kirk.
My pleasure.
And Fred, thank
thanks
you.
Everyone.
You hung in there till the end for us. Yep. And thank you for listening, as I said. And we'll look forward to next time when we will be looking at Alpha Flights 22 and 23.
Good evening. This is gold. All my life I've been in love with its color, its brilliance, its divine heaviness. I welcome any enterprise that will increase my stock, which is considerable.
Now everybody's gone. Good
Saul.
Day.
Good day.
Thanks for listening. You can find us and many other great shows at tutufreaks.com. That's TWOTRUEFREAKS.com. Third Degree Burn is spelled with the number 3, RDDEGREEBYRNE, and is part of the 22 Freaks network of shows. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for Third Degree Burn, spelled with the number 3, and Burn spelled BYRNE. Compliments, complaints, and recipes can be sent to gottagetburned@gmail.com. That's GOTTAGETBYRNED@gmail.com. Drop us a line and tell us how we're doing. Till next time, this has been Third Degree Burn.
Some men aren't looking for anything logical, like money. They can't be bought, bullied, reasoned, or negotiated with. Some men just want to watch the world burn.